Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. I'm still getting a chuckle out of Darren when I drop that. So as long as we're getting the resident millennial to give us a chuckle, it's going to go on. It's going to go on. Anyway, excited to be here today. As all, I'm always excited. I really enjoy doing it. Anyway, got a great show planned for you guys today. Have a lot of stuff to cover as always. Market update, which we're going to get into in a second. And then some great, you know, I love it because doing this job every single day and you know, interacting with all of our clients, a lot of times that's where the content comes from. Like I've said many times before, obviously, we hope we're giving you valuable information. We hope we're sharing with you kind of our view of the world, how to best protect our clients. And hopefully that makes you call us and at least hear what we have to say. But if it doesn't, you know, you're doing it at home, hopefully you can still put, you know, what you hear on this show, hopefully you can still put it into action. You know, our whole attitude has always been, hey, you know, talk the truth, right? Uncover a lot of the mysteries and a lot of the misnomers in investing. Arm people with the truth. Make that our focus. And if we do that, the business side takes care of itself. So I've talked to some of you guys that do handle your own investments, that have no plans ever in hiring us. And I love hearing from those people tell us, hey, I really appreciated, you know, the information you gave here that helped. So anyway, that sounds so cliche, doesn't it? As Darren laughs at me. No, but really, I mean it. We're here to help. We do the right things. We do our job correctly. The business side's going to take care of itself. So, you know, it's kind of the method behind why we spent a whole topic, half the show last week talking about the whole China issue. You know, we got a platform that most people don't have. And again, just want to enlighten you guys and feed you with as much information as possible. And in that tone, we got a class coming up that you're going to hear about on the show. We're going to run some ads during the week. Dory's going to be talking about it on his show. But it's a class on the 16th of November. It's a Saturday. It's going to be in Bellevue. We are dancing right now between two different locations. We're going to have that firmed up by the end of today. But for right now, it's going to be Saturday morning, probably between 9 or 10 a.m. November 16th on a Saturday in Bellevue. And what we're going to do in this class is we are going to condense down our entire planning process in an hour. I would never want to go to a class on a Saturday afternoon if I had to sit there and listen to some schmuck drone on and on for 3 hours. So we're going to get you in and out in an hour, and it's going to be bullet points. We're going to address several hot topics that we talk to clients every week about. Which is, and I'll kind of give you a summation. So first of all, we're going to address investment myths in retirement, and we're going to show you the data. Okay, just not our opinions, but just give you the data. Talk about a lot of investment myths. We're also, as always, risk management. We're going to be talking about how to protect your portfolio against catastrophic loss, but still grow your assets sufficiently. One of the things, a pet peeve of mine in this industry, is how to make your money last. Our attitude is, well, no, not make your money last. Obviously, we need to make sure that happens, but our goal is to grow your assets in retirement. So by the time you get to the end of your life, which is not a fun thing to talk about, I get it, but the goal is to have you have more money, to grow your wealth in retirement. That's the goal. We're also going to talk about, do you need estate planning? And by the way, all of our clients have access to our estate planning service, and that's in-house. That's a cost that we absorb for our clients. That's part of the deal. So we can save you some money on the estate planning and have our estate planning attorneys, you know, take care of you. Do you need long-term care? Get that question in almost every meeting. We're going to address that. When should you take Social Security? You know, this is a simple one. When should you take Social Security? And, you know, if you think about it, it should be a bedrock topic in retirement planning, but it's not. Nobody addresses it. They got some of these Social Security planning classes. You've probably been invited to them before. Just so you know, heads up. You know, that's a way to try to get you into a sales process, right? So that's not what this is. But we're just going to go down the facts. Look, here's what you should do with Social Security. And here's, guys, like we talk about with everybody. There is no set rule. It all depends on where you're at. The minute people start putting you in a formula or a cookie cutter scenario, if you're this age, you turn, whoa. It really depends on your individual situation. So, you know, one thing we've done before and we've done, you know, multiple times is, depending on where a client's at, we might turn Social Security on early and have it feed an investment account while a client's still working. You're not going to hear about that, but we'll explain why. Sometimes we don't. We've had clients where we waited till 70. We've had clients turn it on at 62. It all depends. So we're going to cover that as well. And then, how much money do you need to retire, right? We're going to cover that. We're going to lay it out simply and show our financial planning and income planning process so you guys have some clarity. So if nothing else, and again, we say this all the time, this isn't a timeshare. Darren, have you ever been to a timeshare sales deal? Oh, man. It is high pressure. And I just laughed. I remember we were right out of college and we went in one of these timeshare deals. And I mean, these guys they're like breathing down your neck. It's intense. And the guy looks at me and you could tell he really fancied himself a salesman. He looks at me and he goes, "What price would we need to make this where you could afford it? You know, where you'd do it?" And I go, "Zero." Seriously. What? And I looked at him, I go, "Zero." I go, "Man, I got student loans, right? I got student loans and a mortgage." I go, "I'm not your ideal client." Anyway, they quickly ushered us out the back door. We didn't leave as nice of entrance as we came in, you know, because we came in. It's, get these people out of here. It was pretty funny. But we still did get the free treat. You know, they hang that treat in front of you. It was a cruise. Had a good time on the cruise. And I told them ahead of time. I said, "Listen, I don't want you wasting your goodies on me because I'm not going to do it." But, you know, they think they can swing you. So anyway. And hey, guys, don't do time. Well, I shouldn't say that. Some of you love timeshares. I've talked to you. You've had a positive experience, so I don't want to rain on that parade. But anyway, how much money do you need to retire? It's a hot topic. We're going to cover that. And guys, again, even if you're home gamers, come on down. Coffee, food, beautiful place. Well, we're in between places, but I think we're going to do it at the Bellevue Hyatt. So if you're interested in attending that, and by the way, the reason we pick November 16th, kind of show you where my mind's at, is that happens to be a bye week for both the Huskies and the Seahawks. So we're not even going to infringe on your football intake. And that's that's an important thing to me. So I'm going to assume it is to you as well. So if you want to come, you can always call us 866-779-RISK. We'll put your name on the list, and then you'll give us your email, and we'll forward you the firmed up details. So you know, there are limited spots. That's not a marketing ploy. There are. So typically when we've done these classes in the past, they've usually filled up in about 2 weeks. We're about 3.5 weeks out, so I would expect the same. If you're interested in attending, you can also send us an email. Go to our website, knowyourriskradio.com or bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Click on our email. Email us. Just tell us you're interested. We'll send you the firmed up details as well. But anyway, should be a great time. In and out in an hour. Coffee, breakfast, rolls, that kind of stuff are provided. And we're just going to lay it out and walk you through the planning process, explain the bond replacement program that we talk about, explain how we risk manage the stock portfolios and mitigate risk there, explain how we lower fees. Like I said, long-term care, Social Security, all that stuff. So we're full meal deal, one-shop stop. and hopefully answer a lot of questions. Hopefully it's helpful. So anyway, like I said, call us 866-779-RISK or email us from the radio show website or our website. Anyway, without further ado, so let's get in to the, let's go down the hit list here. So going to do the market update. And then one topic that I really want to, after the market update, that I really want to address. And hopefully this doesn't offend anybody. But again, from recent experience, title of this segment is going to be You're Your Own Worst Enemy. We'll get into what that means. But basically, we're going to talk about how emotions can make you do the wrong thing in investing. The other thing we're going to talk about are the unicorns are dying. Some really interesting, don't miss this segment because there's just been some fascinating developments in the world of stocks and private equity that really illustrate and bring to life this overvaluation thing that we've been talking about for so long. And I just think it's a really, really applicable story that illustrates the danger of these overvaluation scenarios. Anyway, I'm actually excited to talk about it. And then the last, you guys know me and bonds. Got some updates on the bond story that I think are really interesting. So bonds, that's going to be our last segment. So got some great stuff. So anyway, let's get into the market update. Got a lot of interesting stuff going on. One of my favorites, tried and true, Tesla, is back in the headlines. Great quarter. We'll talk about, I'm jumping ahead. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, on the economic front, the trend is still very much in place, guys. Markets continue to push to the upside. Not really. They've really slowed down. We're sitting here today bumping up against the all-time highs. But as soon as we get up there, the market pulls back. So no real developments on that front. Interesting thing about it, though, is that the underlying economic, just like the market trend has continued, the underlying economic deterioration continues. It's still not alarming, but every sign we're seeing is still slowing down. We've got durable goods orders that miss. Durable goods are things that last a long time, cars, refrigerators, things of that nature. Again, not a sign of a lot of economic growth, but as always, markets seem to disagree. So still keeping an eye on that. And then one of the other things that I think is really interesting is we have talked, and everybody's been talking about this. We've spent a lot of time talking about it. But when we are dealing with this whole topic of an inverted yield curve, most of the yield curve right now is not, it's not inverted, right? It's not nearly as inverted as it was, right? What does that mean? Does that mean that the recession risk is gone, right? If we believe, now we've said this before, if we believe that an inverted yield curve automatically leads to a recession, which 100% of the time it has when it inverts the way it did, because we had an inverted 3-month treasury with the 10-year, and for a very short period of time, we had the 2-year and the 10-year inverted. That has never occurred without a recession happening at some point in the next 16 to 22 or 24 months. Now, that's a broad range. I get it. But what happens when the yield curve uninverts, right, like it has? Now, the 3-year and the 10-year, or 3-month and the 10-year aren't even inverted. 2-year and the 10-year aren't inverted, right? What does that mean? Well, really interesting deal. We call this a steepening yield curve. And I don't know why there's so much misinformation around this topic, but there just is. It's one of those deals. So what happens when a yield curve inverts is, and I believe this is without exception, but the yield curve is typically never inverted when the recession starts. It inverts at about, like I said, 16, you know, sometimes earlier, but on average 16 to 24 months before the beginning of a recession. So you got some lead time there. But what happens between right up to the recession, right? So when we enter recession, the yield curve has steepened. So it typically goes back to normal. That is what's happening right now. So once again, We don't want to be, you know, playing with chicken bones and blood spots, trying to figure out everything that's going on. I would say that the yield curve is no longer inverted at this point. That could change, but it's beginning to steepen. And one of the things we talk about in the industry is a little slogan called "Beware the Steepener," meaning that so many times in the past, because this yield curve thing isn't new. I remember people talking about it ad nauseum leading into the financial crisis. And then the curve uninverts and everybody goes, oh, false alarm. Again, it's so misunderstood. I don't know why. Well, chalk it up to the world. I mean, shoot. There's a lot of things that don't make sense right now. So I shouldn't be surprised that that's one of them. But anyway, so that yield curve always steepens out. And then usually it is steepened out or normalized somewhat, and then the recession happens. So again, I'll keep reiterating what we've been saying, is that a lot of yellow lights are flashing, couple reds, but not big ones. But this is a period of time where, at least from our perspective, this is not a time to dump stocks. You can't time markets. Once again, this is a perfect time to take a look at your portfolio and make sure you're not overexposed. And the vast majority you are. And if you're sitting there in ETFs going, oh, I'm properly diversified, we're going to talk about that in the upcoming segment of you are your own worst enemy and retirement myths. We're going to address some of this stuff, okay? Because without exception, every person I meet with has been either inefficiently positioned, meaning they're not getting near enough upside and they're paying way too much in fees, or they're improperly positioned. I have not sat down with a client yet that has a portfolio that is designed to do two things: both limit their risk and manage it correctly. And one of the ways of doing that, guys, remember, there are very few known risks. One of them are expenses. If you are paying more than 1% on your retirement portfolio, guys, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. You don't need to. You're just handing money over for nothing. Shoot, if you want the same portfolio that you're paying somebody 1.5% to manage, 99% of you could get the exact same portfolio with the exact same rebalancing. All the stuff that they convinced you was really important, you can get it for virtually free online. Okay? Now, I wouldn't advise you do that. I think there's a much better way to do it. But the point is just everybody we sit down with is improperly positioned. So that's you know, I can't pound that enough. And we're going to address that. Again, no secrets. We're not going to twist your arm into meeting with us after that seminar, that class that we're doing on November 16th. We just want to educate you and give you the information. Hopefully you want to sit down and talk to us, but if you don't, you know, enjoy the coffee, enjoy the roll, have a great weekend. Anyway, so the other thing that we've noticed on the market update, on the commodity side, gold is getting a bit of a bounce here, not a lot new going on. Oil continues to languish, kind of stuck in no man's land here in the mid-50s. Again, oil is backing up. Remember, guys, oil is a great economic indicator. If economic activity is picking up, you're typically going to see a bid in oil. You know, more trucks are on the road, more trucks are dry, right? You need more oil. That's not taking place. So that really confirms a lot of the other economic data we're seeing. Again, yellow lights, not red. We are not reactionary. We are not chicken littles. We want to see it for what it is. And, you know, not get too emotional. But again, you know, oil's action is another yellow light to us. The other interesting thing is this rotation into value stocks that have been so maligned for the last 6 years. It continues with a vengeance. If you are looking at the stock indexes alone, you're not going to notice it. But let me give you an example of what I mean. Now, you guys know that all of our clients have multiple stock strategies as part of their stock allocation. We don't rely on one thing. I've told you before, we have an algorithmically managed ETF portfolio. ETFs, think Vanguard. The whole reason you know the word Vanguard is they invented ETFs. And the whole basic idea on ETFs is that 94% of mutual funds underperform the market. buy the ETF, track the market, you win 94% of the time, and you're also not paying the fees inside of the mutual fund, which are called 12b1 fees, okay? So I believe in the mutual fund approach. Ours has got a little bit of a spin on it. Again, risk management. We've got a defense mechanism. It's algorithmically managed. When the economic data goes into recessionary mode, meaning growth begins to contract, the portfolio automatically begins to get defensive, okay, to protect capital. Remember, we're going into retirement. We need to make money. We also got to make sure we don't have catastrophic losses. The other thing we do is just kind of a simple, boring, humdrum. I love it. I don't think it is boring, but value stocks, looking for stocks that are undervalued, looking to sell them when they become overvalued. So getting back to my point, if you're looking at the markets right now, you're not going to notice it. They seem, you know, they're up today, they're down the next day, but they're kind of just been hanging right in there, just kind of chilling out. Underneath the surface, there's this massive amount of activity going on, and we're seeing a lot of the high flyers that we've been warning people about. Think Netflix. We gave you guys a warning at Netflix when it was at 430, 440 a share. I think today it's sitting at 270, okay? We gave you a warning on Boeing at 440 a share. Today it's at 340. Again, not giving you trade advice, not telling you to exit the stocks, just reemphasizing, look, these are things that look a little bit, you know, sketchy. They look dangerous. They look scary. So on the value side, though, what we've watched is these high flyers that have been driving the market. Look at Amazon. What is Amazon? Shoot, Amazon, I think, is a good 20, 25% below its all-time high. They missed on earnings. Wasn't catastrophic at all. Still had all means a good quarter. And I was texting back and forth because we give all of our clients my cell phone. So you got access. So whenever you got a problem, even if it's on a Saturday or Sunday, you can get a hold of me. We're partners in this. That's the way we treat our clients. Anyway, texting back and forth with a client, and they were like, well, yeah, but their revenues are up. And I said, yeah, but this is where valuation comes into play. Even if their revenues keep growing, you're talking about a stock. Amazon, phenomenal company, but it's got a incredibly expensive stock price. It isn't about them. I'm not worried about Amazon starting to lose money. The problem is the growth trajectory is slowing down. If that is slowing down, the valuation's going to get hit. And that's why these overvalued stocks are so dangerous. And again, I'm not telling you that Amazon's going bankrupt. It's not all or nothing. But you can have a company, we've seen it a million times, you can have a company continue to do okay, or if not good. If the valuation gets too high, you could still be sitting on a 50% loss. That's why value matters. And what we've been watching is this rotation. So during this period of time where the markets have been flat, that value portfolio that we've been using, it has gone up substantially just in the last month, even though the markets are flat. The other interesting thing is we've had a couple ugly days where the market's down. That value portfolio has, not every single day, but it's either hung in there or it's made gains even when the whole market is down. Guys, we haven't seen that in over 6 years. I can't tell you the last time I saw that. The value portfolio has lagged the markets. Typically, it was up when the markets were up, but not usually as much just because value was out of favor. Everybody wanted the hot growth stocks. That is changing. Now, I can't tell you if it's going to continue, but that's really interesting because we are now in the longest underperformance period of value stocks when we compare them to growth. This is the longest ever. So could this be a turning point? It sure looks like it. Anyway, the whole point is we believe you should have both approaches in the portfolio. Diversification, not just of your assets, but how they're managed as well. That matters. Okay, so another thing we're seeing, a last gasp for growth. So the other thing is entirely possible. Again, we saw this in the tech bubble. A lot of people don't remember this, but there were ferocious rallies with a lot of those tech stocks where everybody thought it was a bottom buying opportunity. So I expect these growth names to make at least one last stand, probably multiple. And my fear is it's going to suck a lot of clients in just like it did in 99 and 2000. And guys, this is why it's so important to stick to a plan. We cannot chase performance. It's all about positioning yourself correctly to catch the majority, if not all of the market upside, but do it in a way that we're not sitting on landmines. And that's part of that risk management process that we're hitting on all the time. We should probably come up with a new name for it because you say risk management, it inherently makes it sound sheepish and boring. It's not. You will make more money over the long. That's the whole purpose of risk management. It's to maximize the upside, right? Take advantage of that upside, but limit that downside. And you can't do it with stocks and bonds. It just hasn't worked. It hasn't worked for 10 years. And for that matter, it hasn't worked the majority of history. The reason why everybody believes that is because rates have been falling for 40 years. And so it's just been this natural wind underneath bonds. When does that stop? I can't tell you the moment it stops. But when rates hit zero, it's probably pretty close. Right? So that's something to think about. I still can't believe all these people I see walking around with these 40 and 50% allocation of bonds. It's just, it's highway robbery. So anyway, and then, like I said, Amazon, I think going back to the Amazon story, I think it's a perfect example of overvaluation. Again, doesn't mean Amazon's not going to go on to make new highs, but look at this as a microcosm of what we've been talking about. Go look at the growth, still really good. AWS, Amazon Web Services, still grew at a 35, 34% annualized clip. Okay, that's great growth, but it was growing at close to 50, which supported that valuation, right? As growth slows, guys, that valuation is going to come down. That's why we can't chase stuff. You got to be disciplined. We got to be focused on value. But value's boring. I heard my own client say it to me. Look, you know this. Here's a fact. You know this. Let this sink in. Anybody that's listening to this show, I just want you to remember this. Okay, just remember this one fact. If we look at investment strategies the world over, we look at sectors, types of stocks, things that have done well, look at which's done best, right? We can look at the S&P. Everybody will bring that up. S&P is averaged, again, depending on your expenses and depending on which, you know, where your time starts and stops. There's a little bit of variance. But in general, S&P performance going back to the Great Depression has been around like 11.3, 11.4. Value stocks have been between 13 to 13.5% growth per year. And small and mid-cap value stocks have been at like 15.5%. Now, naturally, that'd make you go, well, why aren't we in small and mid-cap value all the time? Well, you probably should be, but you're not because you go through periods of time like the last 6 years where it underperforms and people flip out when they go even a year or two underperforming the market. So what they're doing is they're making short-term decisions in a long-term game. Not smart. Not smart. And it's easy to dismiss it. You go, oh, well, Zach, that's what you're saying. You're talking your book. Nope. No, we're not. Just laying out the facts, guys. And the one thing that I see consistently is guess what is missing out of people's portfolios? Value and small and mid-cap value. Why? Because it hasn't performed. They're worshiping at the church of what's worked lately. And problem is it's going to get you wrecked. So anyway, that's the market update. Not much else has happened, but this whole value rotation is something you shouldn't ignore. Okay, the value index. Think about this: with the S&P and the Nasdaq, they all broke out to all-time highs. This is years ago now. I want to say 13, 14, something like that. Value, the value index attracts value stocks. It just recently broke out to new all-time highs. And so many people are unaware of it. And virtually all the portfolios I see of it are loaded up in tech. Your S&P 500 ETF, it's loaded up in tech. Tech is currently making almost 30% of your S&P 500 weighting. Where should you be? You should be pivoting back to value. You should have had it in your portfolio in the first place. Why don't you? Because the advisors know that if they do the thing for you over the long run that works the best, you're going to leave them because most people panic if they underperform the index even for a year. Oh, my guy's not any good. Nope. Sometimes, not sometimes, all the time in life, doing the right thing, making the right decision for the long term usually has some bit of discomfort to it. Working out is not fun. Eating healthy isn't fun. It is fun when you're 85 years old and you're still running around the yard with your grandkids. It is fun when you're 75 and you don't have hypertension and you don't need a heart transplant, right? Investing is no different. Do the long-term right thing. Be disciplined. Properly manage your risk. And we should always be tilting the portfolio i.e. Warren Buffett, toward the most undervalued things. That is investing. And if you're sitting in mutual funds and ETFs, you ain't doing it. So give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can get our Common Sense Investing booklet. You can download our 16-page white paper by Dr. Roger Ibbotson that talks about our bond replacement strategy. You can email in, ask for a phone consultation from the website. You can email in and ask to attend the November 16th class where we go over our entire retirement planning process in an hour in Bellevue. You can ask to, or shoot, you don't even need to talk to us, guys. You can just email back and forth. We can do a portfolio review via email. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We got to run, but we'll be right back with the next segment. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know whether or not you're positioned for a successful retirement? In today's world, you have to be cautious and know all about the opportunities and risks. Hey, it's Story Monson on November 16th in Bellevue. Zach Abraham from Bulwark Capital is hosting a free class, Risk in Retirement. Zach, tell us about this class.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one that you and Suzanne went through, and have condensed it down to a one-hour class.
I like it.
Yeah, we're going to show everybody how to protect their portfolio against catastrophic loss, but still grow their assets at the same time. We're also going to answer several questions like, do you need estate planning? Do you need long-term care? When should you take Social Security? And how much money do you need to retire?
Don't miss Zach's class, Risk in Retirement, November 16th in Bellevue. You only get one retirement. Don't risk it. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Reserve your spot now for November 16th. Knowyourriskradio.com. Knowyourriskradio.com. Hey, it's Story Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What happens if I don't use my long term care insurance?
You know, Dory, nobody likes to pay for something they don't use. In the past, if you never used your long-term care insurance, the premiums you paid were simply gone, just like homeowners or car insurance. But you know what? Things have changed. We now have new programs that will pay you back even if you don't use them for long-term care. You can find out about all the new programs, including ones that pay you back, at 525longtermcare.com. While you are there, you can send us your question and even sign up for a free class. And don't forget to join us every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long Term Care Radio.
Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free. You'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. You know, Darren, one of the tough parts about this doing radio, ironically, it really isn't what you think. The hardest part of doing a radio show is the entrance. Yeah. Well, like what you say when you're coming. So my default is, and we are back. Great to have you. Like, but what do you say? Hey guys, what's going on?
Yeah, and a lot of people overuse the welcome back. People say welcome back.
Yeah, they're more polite than I am.
Yeah, no, I like yours.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. It's just kind of awkward, you know?
I guess I never really have to do it on my show.
Maybe you should just yell a random word like circus, you know, right. Who knows, like rock band or, yeah. You know,
an attention grabber.
I don't know why rock band came to mind. Yeah, maybe it should be like buy low, sell high, right. You know, or I don't know. Whatever. And just an interesting thing I've thought about. It's kind of stressed me out at times. But anyway.
I've never had to worry about that.
Well, that's because you're the resident millennial, man. I mean, you're the guy making it happen. You're the guy pulling the strings. You're our Wizard of Oz. Okay, so we'll get into it, though. But this segment, you're your own worst enemy. Don't let that turn you off, guys. This applies to me as well. Applies to everybody that's investing long enough. I read a fascinating piece by a friend of a friend in the business, money manager, and brilliant guy by the name of Ian Castle. Actually, I'd love to have him on the show sometime. But got a a lot of stuff in common. Guy of faith, small cap, mid cap value. So it's dear to my heart on many, many, many levels. But anyway, he wrote this, and the guy's got an incredible investing track record. And he wrote this piece talking about how in 2016, he almost closed his fund. Value hadn't worked, gone through one of the biggest dry periods in his career, longest time since he'd had a real big winner. And talked about the mistakes that he had made and how it was frustrating and how it was hard. And I identified with it so much because when you're an investor, especially when you're investing other people's money, you're going to go through these times. So when I say that you're your own worst enemy, we all are. And I'm really trying to relay lessons I have learned doing this now for more than a decade and going through some really tough, you know, some of the toughest economic times this country ever had right at the beginning of my career, which was kind of a, you know, welcome to the party kind of deal. Not the best door prize, you know, the great financial crisis when you're still trying to get your business underneath you and you know, and learn your craft. But one of the biggest things I realized and why that resonated with me so much is we are all our own worst enemy. The market is like a carnival, right? Right. And it gets it. There's so many flashing bulbs. There's so much excitement. There's a look over here, look over here. It's like everything else in life. What do we have to do? We got to discipline our eyes and we got to stay focused, right? We don't just like, you know, mosquitoes, just like tractor beam get sucked into the bug zapper. You know, those bug zappers, you always sit there and I remember as a kid going, God, those things are just idiots. They're well, it's their program that way. So are we, right? The attractive thing, the thing that's up 50%, the thing's up 150%. Why aren't we in that? Get it. And then all of a sudden, right? Well, usually without any warning, the lights go off, the carnival stops and we're sitting there crying. Our ice cream's falling off the cone. It's fallen on our shoe. We're standing in mud and all the lights have shut off at the same time. We're sitting there going, why didn't we know better? We should have known we shouldn't have bought a house at the end of 2006. Should have known I shouldn't have made one last grab at those IPO and those tech stocks in 99, right? Over and over and over. When we're our own worst enemies, we get sucked in. And it's universal. We almost always get sucked in at the worst time. And it's not just you. We as investors fight it. One of the toughest things in this business, okay? Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I would love to have our clients loaded up on Apple, Amazon, Shopify, Facebook, all this stuff. Well, A, because the performance would have been really good, but B, because all the clients are like, yeah, he's got us in the best stuff. Do you know why I don't? I don't because I know how the story ends. I don't know when it ends. But I know how the story ends. And I also know this. Like Warren Buffett says, value is what you get, or value is what you pay for, meaning that what are you buying and what is the price you pay? And the other thing he talks about is the biggest aspect of an investment is the price you pay. There are no bad assets. There's just bad prices. Reminds me of a client of ours, smart guy, hardworking guy. He was working in the electrical business and he ran into, there's a company that was one of his companies that he was working with, and they were discontinuing a bunch of electrical products, you know, like stuff like wire nuts, wire strippers. I'm not in the electrical business. I've done enough construction to be dangerous, but, you know, just basic stuff, not any high tech at all. They were eliminating these products and they no longer wanted them. And he asked the warehouse manager, hey, what is all that stuff sitting over there? It's discontinued stuff. And he goes, you know, can I take it off your hands? Guy goes, oh, you can have it. And he goes, no, I, you know, you can't just give it to me. Oh yeah, you can take it. He goes, no, let's settle on a price. And at this time, this is when he was a young man, hadn't made much money. He's done very well for himself because he thinks like this. So stay with me. He's not an investor, electrician by trade. Okay. But has done a phenomenal job building his wealth and making smart decisions. And he's never made a ton of money, but has built a substantial portfolio. He's one of our biggest clients. And he looks at the guy and he says, listen, I'll pay you $1,883 for that pile. And the guy started laughing. He goes, that's pretty specific. You know, why that number? Oh, well, you know, just whatever. Well, the reason he paid that number is because that's all he had left in his checking account. So the guy goes, okay, fine, $1,883 it is. He did this a couple more times, okay? So all in with this company and a couple other little locations, he picked up this basically expired, worthless, you know, whatever, wire nuts, just basic stuff. And I think he spent a total of like 80 to 90 grand. And he'd go to the swap meet every week and he'd sell it. And he'd netted out about $1.3 to $1.4 million over the next 2 years just selling this stuff on the weekend. He had a total of 80 to 90 grand in it. Why? Why did he make greater than a 10X return, about a 13 times return on stuff like wire nuts? Because he paid the right price. He got it for dirt cheap. What was his risk when he bought it? Virtually nothing. Could he sell it for what he put into it? Heck yes, he could. You know, I'm not asking you, or I'm not saying that we should all go around to electrical suppliers and try to see if we can, you know, negotiate old wire nuts from them. But what I'm saying is it reinforces what Buffett is always talking about. It's not the asset that's going to make you money. It's the price you pay for it. And no one has the discipline to do it. That's why there's only one Warren Buffett, because nobody's had the discipline to do it over the long run. They walk into the carnival and the lights start going off and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It starts playing, it grabs their attention, and they end up where they shouldn't be at precisely the wrong time. And this cycle will be no different. It may already be starting. And again, I'm not trying to scare you into getting to talk to us. I'm trying to tell you the lay of the land. And everywhere we look right now, clients are way too loaded up in the stuff that's been working, and no one's paying attention to price. And we're going to get into that more in the next topic as well. But another example of this, and I want you to hear me because this is a perfect example and it's going to resonate and it's going to hit home, and it's something that you can go look on your computer and you can fact check me on. Okay, how many of you out there have the majority or a significant portion of your retirement assets sitting in an S&P 500 ETF? I'm waiting as if I'm going to be able to see the hands, right? It feels real. Feels like I'm actually sitting there talking to you guys. Anyway, but how many of you have it? The vast majority of clients I see have at least 20 to 30% of their portfolio in S&P 500 ETF. A lot of them have more. A lot of them look at me with this confidence that they're doing 100% the right thing. And they go, Zach, all I do is put it in the S&P 500 and let it ride. Okay. Now, do you know this? The S&P 500 is market cap weighted. Okay. Now, what that means is the biggest companies, and when we say biggest, I want you to understand something. It has nothing to do with the amount of money they make. It has nothing to do with the profits they make. It doesn't even have to correspond with if they make profits at all. It is simply the value of their shares times all of the shares outstanding. That number is your market capitalization. That is the total value, the whole total publicly traded value of your stock. Those factors alone decide where you're at in the S&P 500. And the larger you are, the biggest share you get. I believe in the S&P 500, the largest company right now, I think, is Microsoft, if not really close. You know, if not it, it's really close there. It's number one or number two. And it's going to get, I think, 3.7, 3.8, close to 4% of all the money. So if you put your money into an ETF, 4% of it or 3.8% of it is going to go into Microsoft. Next biggest company, I believe, is Apple. So then 3.6 or 3.7% will go into Apple. And then on the list down, you go until you get to the final stock and it's got like 0.15% in it. Okay. That's the best way to go, right? The S&P 500. Did you know that if you took the same stocks, and there are funds out there that do this, not many, because again, it's not fun. But if you had an equal weighted index, meaning that every single, all of the 500 components of the S&P 500 all had the same percentage, 0.25 or 0.2, excuse me, 0.2%. If every stock in the S&P 500 had an equal weighting, that over the long run, over the last 90 years, on average, you'd yield, I want to say it's like 2.2% more per year. Same investment vehicle, ETF, same cost, 0.1% internal fees on not all the ETFs, but these kind of ETFs. Same stocks, but you're going with an equal weighting. On average, over the long run, it's going to be something like 2.2% more a year. If that doesn't sound like a lot, over a 20-year period of time, that's going to make about a 55 to 60% difference in your total return. Without increasing your cost, without increasing your risk exposure, it actually lowers your risk exposure because it keeps you from getting overweighted in the stuff that's really hot. So one of the biggest reasons is that it outperforms is because it doesn't lose as much in the down markets. How many people knew that? Same stocks, you can buy the same ETF, it's easy to get. No, everybody wants the S&P 500. Why is that? Again, because you go through periods of time like the last 4 to 6 years where that strategy that we all know works long term, right? We all know it works better long term with less risk and the same cost. But here's the reason why you don't have it in your portfolio. Because the number one reason why clients leave investment advisors is because they underperform the market for a period of time. Period. That's it. So we are knowingly doing what is not best for clients in an effort to keep your money. So you are your own worst enemy, right? At our firm, we take a different tact. We try to educate our clients and we hold our ground. Sit there and go, look, we're a fiduciary. Our job is to make the best investment advice for you long term. If you leave us, you leave us. But you're going to leave us with a clear conscience. We're going to do what we know is best for you and what is most effective for your retirement plan. And you got to understand there's a whole level of marketing. There's a whole level of behavioral economics that go into this where they're building investment strategies. And it's not nefarious. No one's trying to trick you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anybody's trying to do you dirty. Like I've said before, these people in these firms, vast majority of them, they're good people. Okay, but it's what's easiest. It's the path of least resistance. And we as clients go along with it and we don't question it. And when somebody like me comes along and says, hey, yeah, you might make a little less over the next couple of years, but this is going to give you the best risk-adjusted returns for the rest of your life. We know it. And is there anything else in life where the best course of action doesn't require more discipline? It's the same in investing, guys. It's not always fun. But to do the right thing takes discipline and time. But it pays off, just like saving for retirement. And if you want to know how we're doing that for our clients, if you want to know how we're holding true to that fiduciary oath that we've made, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Sign up for the podcast. Download the 17-page research paper by Dr. Ibbotson about our bond replacement strategy. You can email us to sign up for the class we've got coming up in November 16th in Bellevue. You can call in, schedule a phone consultation with me. You can request the free booklet. You can schedule a meeting with me, or we can go back and forth over email. Get a second opinion, guys. Figure out how you can do these things about like the equal weighted cap versus what you're currently doing, because there's all kinds of misconceptions, and we're going to hit on more of them at the class. We're pressed for time here, so I can't go through all of them. But there's so much out there that investors don't know that if they could just see the raw data, they'd see that it's not smoke and mirrors, that there's a better path forward. Anyway, we got to run, but we'll be right back with the final segment. Stick with us through the break. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know whether or not you're positioned for a successful retirement? In today's world, you have to be cautious and know all about the opportunities and risks. Hey, it's Story Monson on November 16th in Bellevue. Zach Abraham from Bulwark Capital is hosting a free class, Risk in Retirement. Zach, tell us about this class.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one that you and Suzanne went through, and have condensed it down to a one-hour class.
I like it.
Yeah, we're going to show everybody how to protect their portfolio against catastrophic loss, but still grow their assets at the same time. We're also going to answer several questions like, do you need estate planning? Do you need long-term care? When should you take Social Security? And how much money do you need to retire?
Don't miss Zach's class, Risk in Retirement, November 16th in Bellevue. You only get one retirement. Don't risk it. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Reserve your spot now for November 16th. knowyourriskradio.com. knowyourriskradio.com. One of the biggest mistakes you can make heading into retirement is not planning for the high costs of an extended healthcare situation. A lot of people assume they have enough money saved only to watch everything they've worked hard for get whittled down to nothing from the ongoing costs of a long-term care situation. Do not make this mistake. By putting a long-term care plan in place, you guarantee yourself a source of funds to pay for care when needed, and you also know you won't become a burden on your family. Do what my wife and I did. Go learn about the all-new long-term care plans offered by 525 Advisors. These new plans protect your savings, protect your family, and pay you back if you never use them. Learn more by attending one of the upcoming classes taught by Brian Ott, who's host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. It's a free class. You'll get a copy of Brian's book, too. 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And welcome back. That was a little bit different intonation there. That's a singing term that I learned from my wife.
Yeah, but use the word welcome.
You're right.
Favorite.
No.
Everyone says it.
Let's try it again.
Okay.
And we're back. See, there's the intonation. Yeah. But I didn't say welcome.
No, I think what you normally do is better.
Stick to it. At least it's authentic anyway. See, that's some of the most valuable part of this show. If you want to rewind it, get the podcast, which you can get from our website. You can listen to that 45 seconds of time of your life that I just wasted. Anyway, I apologize. Let's get back into it. So, the unicorns are dying. Unicorns, if you haven't been paying attention, are a term used to define these companies that are not yet public. Think of Uber and Lyft, Theranos, which Theranos was another classic one. That was an absolute fraud. Amazing how many people bought into that one. But anyway, they describe them, the unicorn, as these private companies that end up achieving multi or billion dollar, over a billion dollar valuations. And many of them, as you well know, by the time they IPO and they go public, especially starting in the last 12 months, have been hammered, slaughtered. It's been ugly. Regardless of the fanfare and hullabaloo that they had when they came on. And this goes right into our whole value thing. I think the market's starting to sniff out a lot of these overvaluations. But the king of all the unicorns, the one that I thought was the most insanely... that's professional. The thing that I thought was the most insanely overvalued was a company called WeWork. What WeWork did was pretty simple. It's a business that's been tried many times before over the last five decades, even though in this iteration, in this market, everybody treated it like it was this fundamental, foundationally, you know, brilliant new idea, and it's not. Essentially, what WeWork does is walks in to office space all over the world, rents it out over long terms, takes out long-term leases, and then issues it out in shorter, short-term leases to small businesses, individuals that need office space that, you know, can't afford to go out and get a whole floor themselves, that kind of thing, right? And they somehow, I've never really understood the story because it never really made sense to me, but somehow they convinced everybody that they were doing it in a revolutionary new way. And this is where you had to be, and they're a tech company, they're not just a leasing company, and it's just a story stock, right? Like so many of these are. And they achieved a valuation. So this is about 3 months ago, a company, a fund out of, and we go on about this fund, I do a whole show on this fund, but called SoftBank out of Japan, put in I believe it was a $3.5 billion investment. This is two, 3 months ago. And so wrote a check for $3.5 billion, and it was based on a $47 billion valuation for this company that was burning something like $4 to $6 billion a year in cash, because it's such a revolutionary concept, right? Now that's leading up to their IPO. So 7 or 8 weeks ago, they're getting ready for the IPO. The IPO is going to launch in a week. It should have launched about 6 weeks ago. And Goldman Sachs comes out and says, you know what? It's even better than that. I think we're going to have to price this IPO, this initial public offering. So when it goes from being a private company to a public company, we're going to have to price this sucker between 60 to 80 billion. WeWork celebrating everybody. Oh, man, we're making money hand over fist. Well, they start going through the discovery process. And again, I don't know why it took this long, because this is stuff that guys, me and my buddies have been talking about for a year and a half. They start realizing the financials aren't really matching up, that there's all this weird stuff that the CEO has done, like lent it, he leased out or bought a building and then leased it back to the company for millions of dollars, bought a private jet, leased it to the company. So he had a private jet, but was also getting paid by the company to use it. All these things. The directors and owners of the company were treating it like a piggy bank. It just reeked. So all of a sudden, this stuff cart starts coming out. IPO gets pushed off. Then they knock the price of it down to $30 billion. Then they knock the price down to $20 billion. Still no takers. It culminates this week with SoftBank, the company that's already plugged it full of, I want to say they've invested somewhere between $9 to $11 billion in the company. They step up with another $7 to $8 billion funding package to save the company from bankruptcy, because if they didn't step in with that $7 billion or $7.5 billion, somewhere in there, if they didn't step in and do it, the company that just 7 weeks ago was valued at $60 to $80 billion was going to be out of cash today. Or is it next Friday? Anyway, out of cash, done, insolvent. Poof. In the space of 7 weeks, the company goes from $60 to $80 billion valuation on their IPO to virtually nothing. And the only company that would step up and pay it was the company that was putting good money after bad, because they were already into it for $9 to $11 billion. Guys, there's a lesson, right? There's a lesson. Everybody, literally 7 weeks ago, everybody's worshiping the CEO as if he's God's gift to leasing. I've never gotten the story. It never resonated. I just sat there and shook my head, and I felt dumb. Felt dumb. But that's what this market's like. The lights in the carnival are going off, and people are distracted, and they're getting sucked in by the siren song of getting instantly rich, and they're leaving their common sense at the door and running into the carnival. There's a better way. There's a better way. And we can lay that out at our November 16th class. That was slick. Like that little plug. No, seriously, though. We'll show you. We'll show you the long-term data. Don't get sucked into this stuff. Be disciplined. Keep your eyes on the prize. Goes right into Tesla. If you want to know, we begged on Tesla all the time. If you own Tesla, congratulations. Stock's up 30% in the last 2 days. Why? Still trying to figure that out. They announce a quarter. Now, this is a company that's got a valuation that is like quadruple, if not quintuple, what the next closest auto company is. I know they've got new technology, electronic cars. I get it. They're still burning massive amounts of cash every year. Still no real profitability in sight. But they come out and they announce that they beat earnings. Well, you look under the hood, sales have actually declined. Cash flow has declined. The way they got to beat earnings was just accounting manipulation. Stock goes nuts. Nobody cares about the fundamentals right now, but they will. They're starting to. WeWork, remember we gave you the warning on Netflix, it's been cut almost in half. People are starting to care. You still have time to pivot back to a disciplined risk manage approach that's not going to cost you upside. Not over the long run, it's going to do you better. You got less fees, you got less risk, you're concentrated in value stocks that are going to work over the long run. And remember, we're investing for the rest of your life. It's not about maximizing your returns in the next 12 months. So if that interests you, if you feel like, Zach, I didn't know that about the equal weighted cap versus the market cap weighting. I don't know how overexposed I am to tech. I own the regular S&P or mutual funds. Guys, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Sign up for the class we've got coming up in Bellevue on November 16th, you can email us. We'll get you on the list. We're going to announce the location on Monday. Okay, you can ask for a portfolio review over the phone. We can do it over email. We can get you our Common Sense Investing booklet about our bond replacement. You can sign up for the podcast. You can call us directly and ask for a consultation in person. We'll come to you. You don't even have to come to the office. Educate yourself, guys. It's time. You're getting all the warning signs. The yellow lights are blinking. Don't get caught holding the bag. Anyway, we got to run. Go Hawks, go Dogs. Have a wonderful weekend and sign up for the class on November 16th. Anyway, Talk to you guys soon. We'll be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.